Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Relationship Pod. I'm Sarah, your host, a relationship mentor, and I'm here today with my partner, Nathan. Nathan, by day, is a online fitness coach. I had to think about that.
Thank you for your support.
I had to think about that. He's an online fitness coach that works with the South Asian community, helping them get in amazing shape while eating South Asian food. But today he's taking his fitness hat off and he's joining me for a conversation about something very different. We're going to be talking about sex in early dating and specifically what the impact that sex in early dating has on women and men, and especially in terms of like the quality of the relationships that they can build after that. So welcome to.
Thank you.
And thank you for being here. I guess let's start with a personal story from your side. Mm-hmm. And maybe you can tell us about what you've seen happen in your dating experiences when you've had sex really early on versus when you've actually waited a bit longer as things have progressed.
Yeah, I think over the years, like speaking to friends and having that kind of bond with guys, there's obviously a lot of different variables that people say versus what they feel and what they do. So for when I was younger, I guess going from the unknown of what this thing was, but thinking that you wanted it because of high sex drive, or like just growing up and hormonal kids and looking at, you know, women for the first time or page three for the first time, you're like, oh, that looks awesome. I think my relationship with that type of stuff was always like it was an achievement or it was a thing to attain for, not because of the value that it presents in terms of a relationship or the value that it presents for the bond between two people. For me growing up, that was like the sense of like
achievement.
Oh, she'll do that with you. Mm-hmm. Oh, she must like you, you know? And I think that was always the, I guess it's like the first, guys look at women without the head on for the most part. when they first start dating, when they're younger, right? When you're 18, you're looking at, wow, butt cheeks look like that, you know? And then you're like, oh, boobs, wow, boobs.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, wow. And they're both together. Like, which one are you, boobs or bum man? Like, which one is it?
Yeah.
And then you realize there's like personality there and there's like a person behind the scenes. But I think that's just the nature of growing up as a guy who's never been like, never had any formal education about that, or never had the bird and the bees chat, or never had like, you only had your role models and what was going on at home versus what the guys with kids were doing at school. And, you know, I came from a northern background where we're at today, where like most of the girlfriends I had between the ages of 11 and 16 had kids when they were 16, 17. So sex wasn't a taboo subject. It was like, you're not done it yet, 13, 14. And if you've not done it, then you're not normal. And then those like girls went on to having two kids at 17, 18 and kind of starting that kind of journey, which is quite common within the north of England for some reason.
Just England in general.
Yeah, England in general. So back to the caveat, it was more like an achievement metric rather than like, and a validation metric, now that I would say that when I was 18, but it was just a quest.
Yeah. And what about like now as an adult in your dating experiences, right? Because you obviously, things are very different when you're a teenager versus when you're an adult. And let's say you're an adult that knows that you're looking for a relationship and you're on the dating scene and you go on a date with a girl. I don't know if this has happened to you. So let's say, for example, you've had an experience where you've gone on a date with a girl and you've had sex on the first date versus you've gone on a date with a girl, aka me. And you have waited significantly longer in that process to have the physical intimacy. So what would you say, if anything, there doesn't have to be a difference, but if there is a difference, what would you say that difference is in the quality of that dating experience versus the other one?
Yeah, I think that there's a massive difference in quality. I don't think it's for everybody that you say do this and then that'll happen, but for me, from a guy's perspective, when you do get those things early on in the dating side of things, the quest for that is completed. And then you're like, well, do I want to be with this person in a relationship? Like, it's like this, then that. And I feel like women, we've had this conversation, but women are completely different. Whereas we're like, let's get that over the done with. And then we can like focus on the other stuff. Cause as a guy, you're like, oh my God, like you're sexually attracted to them. You're like, oh, come on, let's, you know, whatever. Like you're on a date deciding if that person's attractive, and normally attraction then leads into sexual, like, things, or that's the cascade of effects that normally would happen.
Mm.
So I believe through trial and error and having it, but then not having it, then having it, and then not having it, and then not having it, I believe there's a better opportunity to create better relationships if that isn't just given
straight away.
From a women's perspective, a guy, you don't know if a guy is really in it. And there's a gap between guy questing for sex versus questing for a relationship.
Yeah.
Both of them start and finish at the end of sex.
Yeah, yeah.
And a guy who wants to be in a relationship with you will view it as intimacy and view it as like, okay, we've got that out of the way now. Now, like everything else, we can kind of now become more intimate together, because that's like the barrier for entry is like, okay, I've seen you naked now. Let's have some normal conversations. let's leave the door open when I piss, or let's fart in front of each other, whatever it is. I think that's like a, although it's weird that you wouldn't fart in front of your partner before you'd have sex with them, but that's the kind of, I think intimacy, sex is used as an intimacy barrier or a
entry
level, yeah, excuse the pun, entry level criteria for intimacy.
Mm.
But when you get the opposite way, I think no one wins. Because a woman doesn't win because she gives up something that is the key to having attention and having the interest at a higher degree, when you can really capitalize on that. I feel like women should be a lot more tactical. It's like, if you long it out, you get high interest and high degrees of acuity, and then you get more out of that person. You see what they're great at, and you see what they're willing to do and see what they're willing to grovel for, and what the conversation style is like, what the personality is like, what the dates are going to take you on, what interest are they showing, and then does that level then continue post?
Yeah.
And I think if it drops off, you've got an idea.
Yeah.
And I think that is such a useful strategy that requires a lot of self-control from a woman, which I appreciate because they want it too. But it, with you being the one that is holding the key to the door, you have to be careful who you let in.
Yeah, I agree. And I think what you said was, what did you say? You said something like, if it drops off after.
Yeah.
In your experience, does it tend to drop off when you wait, or does it tend to drop off when you get it early on?
I think there's that, what we call post-nut clarity, which, you know, I think we introduced you to, but like there's a period of time and where some people can be blinded by the chase and not the person. So they end up like chasing for that outcome, which is A plus B equals sex.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, then you get to see what your level of attention is for the person that's in front of you, because a guy could be, and everyone is the same, but goal focused. For a definitely period of my life, I was like, right, okay, cool, let's hole in one, like golf, like get it in, and then we can work on our swing afterwards.
Mm.
But like, you get that goal, and then your achievement of the first step is done. So now you're like, okay, do I want to spend more time with this person? Is that true, what I was building up to be before we had this thing? Or was it the sexual tension that was rising, but actually the personality type, the way that they like operate, their values, their lifestyles, their priorities, does that actually match?
Mm.
So I feel there's that like that initial drop off, which comes if it was about the chase of the intimacy rather than the chase of a relationship.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting because I feel like it kind of works the opposite way with women.
Yeah.
So like, let's say, for example, if you have sex with someone early on, I speak for myself, but I know a lot of people will be able to relate. If I have sex with someone early on, then I build a false sense of intimacy with that person. Whereas for you, it's like in that phase of the sexual tension building that you build the story about someone.
Yeah.
And then you get the clarity afterwards, where it's like, for me, I get the clarity by holding off and actually seeing if that person is showing up as who they say they are, and if I'm actually feeling that there's a compatibility, or if this person is even worth like allowing to enter that very intimate space with me. And then I'm like, oh, okay, that's the clarity I have, and then I'll jump into bed.
The only but I think the only problem with that is that if a guy knows the game, which is the game of how a woman works, it can be turned into a game.
Mm.
So hypothetically, you could turn up, show up, and do the things that you wanted to see to get the outcome that they wanted. And then by the end of it, they still got the goal, the game, without, and you felt like you got your thing, and then you had that thing, and then it now went away. So it can be gamed, but that's why I feel like there has to be a lot more like fail safes in play and a lot more time and consistency, as you say, but also judgment of skill set. Mm-hmm. Like when we first got together, you're like, oh, we need more time and consistency together. We're time and consistency. And I'm like, I like you because of your skill set. Mm-hmm. I like how caring you are. I like how, you know, we communicate. Mm-hmm. I like how, what we're doing as our things. Your priorities are awesome. You care about health and fitness. You're a bit too much yoga for me, but like you're all good. Like, they were skills that I desired in a relationship because I had ones before that I knew not what to do. Because I had the data, I was able to judge you based on your skill sets to make that decision. Whereas if you, 21, 22, and you've not been in many relationships before as a female, I think you can mistake the length as length of time as a healer, as opposed to locked in for skill sets, consistency.
Yeah.
And I think most females need to look at skill sets and priorities of guys versus time and consistency versus I think guys need to look at women as time and consistency as opposed to skill set.
So. That's interesting. But I think that it can be both because I think the time and consistency allows you to see the skill set, but it also allows you to see if that skill set sticks.
Yeah.
And I think that, I don't know how long guys are willing to play a game for, but I've dated somebody who's been ready for a relationship and made them wait. And even they were just like, this is crazy. They dropped off.
Yeah.
So I think...
Then he wasn't ready for a relationship.
I think it was more in the sense of like... I think it had to do with my uncertainty as well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that... It depends on how long you actually wait. But I don't know how, like you can tell me, I don't know how long a guy will play a game for. But I think the time element does help because people who are not actually serious about really staying and getting to know you and stuff like that, they will drop off eventually.
I think the drop-off rate or the churn rate, to bring it back to fitness business, the churn rate is definitely higher now with the presence of socials and Tinders and Bumbles because the opportunity for more. Whereas beforehand, if you... had a girl that was 7.5 out of 10 and that was the first experience you went out a night out in Liverpool or London or Dubai, you weren't getting many opportunities to keep on going to those places to get the opportunity, so you'd wait around longer because you didn't have as much in your face about other alternatives. But I do think like the time of waiting is created by clarity. So when we had the conversation, you were super clear and open about what it was that, and we had the joke about time and consistency and I had the joke about skill set, because just for reference, like, at the beginning I was like, this is the skill set that I want, you've got all of it, I'm in, like I'm in, and you were like, wait a minute cowboy, like you're like, no, we need to do time, but because you were like, for me to be able to be intimate, to have these things, I need these things to happen. And then as we went along, I was like, okay, cool. Like, how are you feeling? How's everything going? Do you feel like we can improve on things? Like, what do you need from me to create a better space for you and all this type of stuff? And then through that communication, I knew where I stood. Because I was like, I'm in, skill set is wise. But still, at the same point, is like, there's a point where you're like, what's happening here? Like,
yeah.
But it's not because of the sex. It's because of, like, the uncertainty of, like, the trigger that is, well, why doesn't she like me? Like, why isn't she ready to get some of this meat, you know? Like, why is she not ready for all of this, you know? Like, and that can create a lot of uncertainty, not in, like, just sex, but actually just in the grounds of two people together. So I think when you created those expectations and those communication values, I was able to go, okay, makes total sense why you would do that. Yeah. You told me history and you told me previous things. I was like, makes sense. And then I was like, well, like, I'm good from my side. I know what I'm looking for. I know what I'm not looking for. And... then it turns out I like the time and consistency and you like the skill set. So so it worked out well because we had that open communication. I don't think you get that when you're 21, 22, unless you listen to podcasts like this, which I wasn't at 21, 22. Like, literally, Sky Sports and, you know, YouTube and, you know, Instagram wasn't even around. So I think that you fuck around and find out to a degree, and you learn from, I think the biggest thing is not learning from what you didn't like previously. That's the hardest thing to learn from, but it's like the most valuable.
No, I agree. And I think when it comes to like finding the right partner, that's super, super key. And the time and consistency and the skill set thing, I think both people should look out for. But I think that the problem is that a lot of women make, not just women, but I'm speaking from a woman's perspective and based on the conversations that I've had with my friends, like a lot of us, we tend to make assumptions that this is the type of person that we're seeing just based on a couple of interactions. And I think that, let's say, for example, you have a guy and he's, you know, being open and honest and he's talking about his past and you're like, oh, wow, this guy's like really emotionally available and he's so this, but you don't actually know him.
Yeah.
And then you throw the sex into that and then it just becomes a cocktail and the feelings intensify and you're like creating more storylines, but you're not actually giving it that time and the consistency to understand more about him, because someone could be really comfortable talking about their past, but they also could be an asshole.
Yep. Skill set. Like, yeah. It's the assumption that how you do one thing is how you do everything.
Yeah.
And how you speak about a particular topic is how you feel and act in every part of your life. And, you know, being a person that looks at people's diets and eating food is like, some people are amazing business people, but they fucking can't stop eating crisps. Yeah. Like, that doesn't make them a bad person. But also, you could make an assumption based on how good they are at business or how they're good at raising their kids, is that they would be perfect with their diets. Like, that doesn't make sense. It's like, every person has like these skills, traits, characteristics, and everyone's on this constant level of like, oh, this one's 40% up to out of 100, this one's 100% out of 100, this one's 60. And we're all constantly trying to judge the whole skill set based on seeing one attribution level.
Yeah.
So they might have, like, in football, you assume that someone is really fast is also really good at scoring. It's like, no, they're just fast.
Mm.
Like, and it's the same as like in business. Like, you can, if you're a salesperson, you might be really good at selling property, but it doesn't mean you're going to be great at selling something else, like fitness programs or pens. It's actually that they're just that thing that they're saying to you, that's what they're good at, and the rest of their life you are yet to explore yet. So ask the right questions, get the right answers, and the assumption, just because someone is vulnerable, doesn't mean that actually self-conscious or like cognitively aware. What is it? Like, you can be super like, you can be super vulnerable but still not do anything about it. I'm really crap at this. Oh, I've had this past, and then they exhibit nothing the same changes. Patterns. It's like, okay, what did you do in those 2 years? Apparently nothing.
That's very true. And I know we kind of went on a bit of a tangent, but I want to bring us back to something that you were talking about earlier, which was the post-nut clarity. And I wonder if you can tie it into a situation where you kind of felt that a person was so much of this and so much of that, and then you had that post-nut experience and you realized the complete opposite. Yeah. What did that look like?
It's just the stories that you tell yourself in the pursuit or the chase. Just because something is unattainable doesn't mean it's worth attaining. But we believe that if the pursuit is worth the pursuit and you're driving towards something, you get wrapped up in, you know, I think there's a thing is like, guys look at women 10 down to 0. Women look at men 0 up to 10.
What does that mean?
So we assume that you're a 10. And then we knock off points based on the things that we don't like.
That's interesting.
Whereas women start at 0 and you've got to prove to be a 10. And that's the way we would look at a situation. So if we have that intimate, that conversation, that attraction, that banter, that flirty, that piques your interest, you then start at a 10. And then maybe some of the things you say or actions or priorities may drop you down. But in the pursuit of the sex, they're already at a 10. So it's hard to be aware. I know we speak about this a lot, but like, you have to have criteria for people. But at that moment in time when you're 21, 22, you don't have any criteria. You're just like, woman, like me. Okay. Then you're like, oh, she's a 10. And then you're attaining for that. And you've set up all of these expectations and pictures based on your belief that she's there. So then when you have that clarity or that nut where you stop the chase, you then see the curtain just drops
immediately.
Immediately. And you're like, what have I done? Or like, now I see that. Or I didn't know she had a mole on her left ear. Or like, you know, like,
mole on the left ear.
You know what I mean? Like, you just you're blind.
Sit that back.
No, but you're blind by things that you just don't, like, you're not aware of.
Yeah.
That you're just like so focused on what you're going to say so that it creates a nice conversation. How are you going to take them for dinner? You're constantly focusing on the input as opposed to what the picture that you're seeing.
Yeah.
So I think that's, it's never had a conversation with a guy that's never had that to some degree.
Wow.
Where it's like, levels here, the expectations there, the perception is there, and it too.
Yeah, it drops.
So, yeah.
Mm. That's interesting. It's also interesting what you said about women going at zero and going up to 10, because what I see a lot, especially with my friends, is quite the opposite. They just go into it like one date. Oh my God, he's so this, he's so that, and blah, blah, blah. And then they get all caught up in the stories that they're telling themselves about this guy. And then when, you know, they get too excited, they have sex straight away, the guy drops off, and they're just like super hurt by it. They're super hurt by something that isn't even real. And that was something that I also used to struggle with as well. Mm. You put someone on a pedestal, and I think there is an element of the sexual chemistry there as well. Mm. And then you're so caught up in all of these intense feelings, you jump into bed with them and you're like, oh my God, like this is amazing. And this is a validation that this is something real and it's going to go somewhere. And then the guy disappears, or he's just like starts giving you breadcrumbs and not following through. And eventually it just fizzles out and you're like, oh, what's wrong with me? Like, why? Maybe I wasn't good enough in bed, or maybe I just wasn't good enough in general. I'm not hot enough. I'm not this enough and whatever. It can become a real issue in helping us actually create the kind of relationships that we want. And I kind of think that when you take, like I said before, when you take the sex out of the equation, it actually makes things easier. And I actually got some research up on my computer about the things that happen, like chemically speaking, in the body when it comes to women, that I think explains really well why sometimes this kind of thing can happen. So when women have sex with a man, the oxytocin levels go through the roof, and the oxytocin is like, they call it the love chemical or hormone, one of those. And it creates this sort of bonding feeling with the man, whereas men don't experience the same rush as women do. So we form this connection with them, but they don't form that connection with us. And based on the thing that you're saying, they might have like a spike in their dopamine levels, but the dopamine comes from the pursuit of the reward and then momentarily from attaining the reward. And then when you have it and there's nothing left to chase or to work for, then post-nut clarity. And then you're like, oh, well, I got what I wanted out of that. Maybe that was the validation of I'm good enough and now I don't need it anymore. Or maybe that was just, I wanted to have sex and now I don't want this thing.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting to understand that for people who do go into dating. I don't think that there is a right or wrong way to do it, because I've had sex with people that I haven't even gone on a date with and ended up in long relationships with them. And I'm sure that you had the same experience. So it's not that it doesn't ever work, but I think like if you are somebody who tends to start people off at 10, even just after one date, it can be very useful to take away some of the things that will cloud your judgment around that person, so that you can give yourself the time to actually get to know them and take them off that pedestal.
Yeah.
Look for the skill set. Look for the time and the consistency. Are they showing up as the person they say they are? Do their actions align with the words that they say and the things that they say about themselves? So I think that's like,
it's easier to ignore the things that you need to work on right in front of you than actually just going back around in those cycles and doing the same thing over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's hard to, one, short-term gratification, if you're that person who likes to, you know, get it off in the first date.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to stop you from having a short-term feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And then equally is, then it's going to create this whole host of other things, because maybe that's the only thing that you feel like you're worthy of and that's what your value is, not like a conversation or the relationship that you hold.
Yeah.
But most people just need to do the thing that they've not done in the last couple of times that they've done. rule of thumb is like, if you've had the last three dating experiences and you've had sex with all of them on the first date and they all kind of ended up very similar, leave the person out of the context. What did I do? And now what? Like, I love it. Oh, now what? Okay. Mm. And now what do I need to do? Okay, well, let's take the breadcrumbs. Let's take the three situations. We had sex at the beginning. we did these type of dates and activities mm-hmm. or whatever, and then we talked about these particular topics. What am I going to do next time?
Mm-hmm.
And you solve the problem. Like, how we got to the point where we're together is I had a bunch of times where I was, and I told you this, I was looking for the wrong thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept looking for the wrong thing. Oh, pretty. Oh, lovely. Oh, not very nice to me. Oh, okay, interesting. Oh, no, I try it again. This one's a little bit prettier. You know, and you think everyone's different. Like, no, same, you know, same rod, same bat, you know. Mm-hmm. So when I came into our relationship, I did the opposite of what I wanted to do and what was super short-term gratification. So, oh, wow, I forget the Fitbit. By the way, you're amazing looking. But like that was the sole focus, right? Mm-hmm. Looks and attractiveness were like the, okay, cool, that's what we're going for,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I was like, but that's not actually what I want.
Mm.
Like, what did I learn from the last relationships? What is shit about them? And then what do I need to do the polar opposite of those next time?
Yeah. Okay,
so I don't feel comfortable in a relationship. I don't have any type of communication. I don't have any vulnerability. I can't be empathetic. I can't do these things. I can't share my relationship with these people. Okay, cool. Well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll look for the opposite.
The opposite of yeah. that.
And then I'm like, okay, well, we can have a conversation. We're very vulnerable. We communicate mm-hmm. very well. You know, we can share things. And you're also really attractive too. It's like, I got the things, the opposite of what I was getting before. And yeah. if that wasn't right, then bloody hell, we're going closer to where we need to get to.
Yeah.
And I feel like those scenarios where people jump in straight away, or vice versa, people are holding on too long, you need to do the opposite to find the middle.
Yeah, I agree.
Like, everything's on a pendulum, good, bad, you know, evil, this, that, and the other, you know, light, dark, everything's on a pendulum. So you're either going to be like, go one end and you're like super attractive, super first date is amazing. And then the other end is like, first date was a bit meh, but actually I could do a second one.
Mm-hmm.
And you just swing on these pendulums and you just mm-hmm. need to find your pendulum that you swing on. And just, if it's not working,
do something.
Yeah. And you only need to change a couple of things. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, well, I don't do sex on the first date. We'll do coffee instead.
Yeah.
And like, you change the dynamics of your strategy. Mm-hmm. You have to be strategic with your dating.
I love that. Yeah.
Change the dynamics. Okay. Every time I've been on a date in the last 6 months, I've gone to a cocktail restaurant that's got us a bit boozy, and then we get a bit touchy, and then mm-hmm. we're back at the bedroom. Okay, well, let's do coffee, because I can't get pissed on my first date. I can't
expect
lose the sense.
Not to.
Yeah. So I'm going to put myself in a melting pot. I'm going to have less. I'm going to have less bodily function.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have someone that, or I have the desire to execute on those things.
Mm.
So I think
more that's, willpower, at least.
No, well, you put yourself an opportunity not to have it. So I think if you do the opposite, at least, if that's still not what you want, well, at least you've got another opposite of that, which gets you closer. Because
yeah.
if 100%, like, we're, research shows we are really bad at predicting what we like, but we're really good at predicting what we don't like.
Mm.
And you, if you always go to what you think you want, you will actually get further away than what you actually don't want.
Mm.
And your experiences previous will shape the ones that you have next.
Mm-hmm.
But if you have things that you don't like, you're certain to move towards things that you do like, because the opposite of not good is good.
Yeah.
So
yeah, this is so true, and I really like the way that you put it. I think that it's kind of challenging for people to think in that way, because it takes a lot of conscious effort and self-awareness that you have to create around yourself. And being intentional about, like, writing shit down while you're dating people,
yeah.
fucking hated that.
Yeah.
Fucking, because if you don't, then what will happen is that your brain will always look for what's familiar, not yeah. for what is right.
Yeah.
And you'll just keep ending up in the same situations yeah. over and over again.
I just got so sick of it.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, fuck, I hate this human.
Yeah.
it was like, I hate this. And do you know what I'm going to do? When we spoke about this, you've done some great content on this as well. It's like, make a list of the things
yeah.
that you want to see.
Yeah.
I want vulnerability. I want to be what I want to do, not mm. what I want from that person, because ultimately you are a reflection. You get what you need.
Yeah.
So, like, you, what do you want in yourself to feel when you or do with this person,
mm-hmm.
not what the other person is going to give you?
Mm.
So, like, I want to be vulnerable.
Mm.
I want to be able to communicate. I want to be able to go on long beach walks and do a picnic, or
yeah.
I want to be able to see a future with this person. I want to be able to work with this person and have a job with them, or like share quest.
Mm.
And I want these things. And then as you have those like metrics of success, you will see where the people fill into those buckets.
That's very true. Yeah.
And then when someone doesn't fill a couple of the buckets, you're like, go figure.
Mm. Yeah, I like that. Because a lot of people are so focused on what qualities do I want in this person.
Yeah.
And I think that's important. But if you think about how you feel safe to show up in a relationship,
yeah,
you would just naturally attract that person that is allowing you to be that safe. Yeah.
But here's the kicker, is whatever you want, you have to give back, because they won't want to be in a relationship with you if you're not doing the same thing.
Yeah,
she's like, oh, I want a guy that's into fitness. Okay, do you think a guy who's into fitness wants to be with a girl that's not into doing any of it?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I want a guy who goes to walk on the beach. How many times last week did you walk on the beach? Yeah. Zero. Oh,
yeah.
I want a guy who is, you know, taking me on like dates and like wine and dime. He's taking me to nice hotels or weekend stays. When's the last time you took yourself on a weekend stay?
Yeah.
Because if you do the things that you want in a person, you end up attracting them anyway.
Yeah.
And most importantly, repelling the ones
that don't.
Because most people who don't do the things that they want for themselves end up just getting the people that their actions are aligning to rather than what they're actually wanting.
Mm. Yeah, that's very true. I like that. So to close it off, I love asking this question. Fuck it up, so bad.
You're really committed to this, aren't you?
So to close it off, I would love to know, what piece of advice would you give to your younger self when it comes to having sex early on in the dating experience?
I mean, if it was an 18-year-old Nathan, I'd be like, go get it, tiger. Money messing. I think...
Let me rephrase that. What advice would you give to Nathan, who was looking for a relationship?
Damn it. I think the easiest thing is probably what we spoke about the most, which is if you become the person you kind of like want to see, and you have an idea of the things that you like, I think having characteristics and skill sets that you attain for is my favorite priority. If a 21-year-old version of Nathan knew that he wanted to be vulnerable, be open, to be listened to be cared for, to be like kind of have this like feeling inside, it would have been harder to find, but the dating conversation would have been different, but I would have been empirically happier, which then lead you to the point where you get what you want, not what you think you want.
Yeah, I like that. Thank you.
Yeah.
Huge thank you again for taking time to join me on the podcast. And it's been really interesting to hear about, I mean, we've had this conversation before, but when I first had this conversation, it was super interesting to hear about a male's perspective on this. And I'm sure that a lot of you will take value from it. Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you are interested in learning more about how to create healthier relationships, I have a course which is called Healthy Relationships 101. Just drop a comment with the word waitlist and I will give you early access. Take care and I'll see you next time.